T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It is hard to listen to. This is the audio clip from ProPublica.
It's hard to listen to. That was a detention center. ProPublica says it has been obtained by a whistleblower and a client of an immigration lawyer down there. And it is inside one of the immigration centers where the children are being detained. Our own attorney general is weighing in on this issue today. Lori Swanson, along with some other attorneys general, there a whole list of them here on the back, Attorney General of Maine, Illinois, District of Columbia, Hawaii, Iowa, Maryland, Massachusetts, New Jersey, New York, wrote this letter. Dear Attorney General Sessions and Secretary Nielsen, meaning Kirstjen Nielsen, the Department of Homeland Security Secretary, I, the undersigned attorneys general, write to express our strong opposition to the Department of Justice's now new zero-tolerance policy of forcibly separating all families that cross the border, including those seeking asylum. The policy is not only inhumane, but it also raises serious concerns regarding the violation of children's rights, constitutional principles of due process, and equal protection, and the efforts of state law enforcement officials to stop crime. Because of these concerns, we demand the Department of Justice immediately cease these draconian practices. Our own Attorney General, Lori Swanson, is on the line with us now. Welcome back to the show, Lori.
Yeah, good evening. Thank you for having me tonight.
So, Lori, why didn't you just sue him? Is it not illegal?
We are taking a look at potential litigation. It's nothing that we've made a determination on thus far, and we're looking at both the laws that may be violated as well as the constitutional provisions and also the impact on Minnesota. But time is really of the essence here as well. You know, we have these children. You just played the tape of some of the children in these detention facilities who are separated right now from their parents. And we, as attorney generals who deal with the U.S. Department of Justice, decided to band together and try to prevail on the Department of Justice to change its mind. And I would add we join not just us, the attorney generals, but faith leaders, you know, five first ladies, 16,000 physicians, and a range of the country's largest corporations in condemning the practice as being inhumane and also asking the Department of Justice to take a second look, don't double down on a bad decision, and adopt a different policy.
You write that the deliberate separation of kids and their parents who seek lawful asylum in America is wrong. This practice is contrary to American values and must be stopped. We demand that you immediately reverse these harmful policies as it's in the best interests of the children and the families affected. How do we make this a nonpartisan issue? Is there a way to do that? Is the onus on Congress to come up with an acceptable bill? Is this a function of selective enforcement? I mean, We're talking about solutions, Lori.
Yes.
Help us there. What would you do?
Great question, Paul, and I appreciate it. And I think in terms of the condemnation of the practice, it really is bipartisan. I mean, we did see five first ladies come out representing both political parties condemning it. Today, the United States Chamber of Commerce came out. A lot of our leading Minnesota corporations, ranging from Best Buy to Target to General Mills, have all come out and condemned the practice, and as have faith leaders across a variety of religious denominations and faiths. And so I think really America is coming together saying the practice is inhumane and ought to be reversed. In terms of how that can happen, the Department of Justice could stop it right now. It was only in April that it put in place this new zero tolerance policy that led to the separation of the families from each other. And so justice could end that now. Congress could also step in, and I think you're seeing, again, bipartisan support from various members of Congress saying, this is America. We do value children. We don't want to see children ripped from their families. I mean, the law of this country really does say that a child's best interests are almost always going to be served by being with their parents, unless, of course, a parent for some reason is unfit or in a dangerous situation. And so on a bipartisan basis, Congress could also instruct the Department of Justice to, you know, terminate this particular policy right now if they chose to.
So, Lori, a texter has a good question. You know, I read in the first paragraph of your letter to Sessions and Nielsen, the policy is not only inhumane, it raises serious concerns about the violation of children's rights and constitutional principles of due process. But if these folks are coming into the country, some are coming in illegally, some are seeking asylum, which is a legal thing to do. They're going through the proper proper ways. But they're not citizens. So does the Constitution govern these
immigrants? It does. Yeah, that's a great question. The Constitution and the Bill of Rights applies to everybody. Whether you're a citizen or a non-citizen, there are certain exemptions like the right to vote or the right to run for federal office. You don't have that right if you're a non-citizen. But the Bill of Rights, you know, that we know of, you know, the First Amendment, equal protection, due process of law, applies to everybody, regardless of their citizenship status or not. And so here we're really talking, you know, something pretty fundamental, which is children belong with their parents and, you know, ought not to be separated from their parents. As well, there's some case law. The U.S. Supreme Court has said that, you know, there's really a parental right and a familial right for families to stay together, to be together, unless, of course, there's some reason why that shouldn't be the case. For example, if a parent were abusive, they can be, you know, lose their right to, you know, have their children in their home. Or, you know, if a parent commits a crime and ends up ultimately being sentenced and convicted of that crime and goes away to prison, they may not be able to be with their child. But here you're talking something different, you know, people coming, they're looking for asylum. And before they've really gone through that process, you know, for misdemeanor level offenses, by the way, you know, being separated from their parents and put in these makeshift shelters is something that I think, you know, certainly offends the moral sense of this country and potentially impacts or offends the legal underpinnings of this country as well.
Yeah, we got an email from a gentleman named Boyd Emmel, who I believe votes Republican. He said, elections have consequences. We are responsible as voters. We have lost our moral compass. And I think a lot of people feel that way, at least about this issue. But Attorney General Swanson, thank you for joining us. We do appreciate your perspective, and thanks for joining us on CCO.
Thank you for having me. Good evening.
You got it. It's a tough one. Look, it's a challenge. Every time we play that audio, I'm physically upset. It's a challenge. Our country is having a crisis right now. There's got to be a solution.
But again, there's still so much confusion. A listener says, then get Congress to change the laws. Force Congress to quit the procrastination and drop their BS they've been living by for so many years. And I think that's the perception out there, that we need better laws, stronger laws. But this is also an enforcement issue, right? This is about enforcing the laws that already exist.
Another texter writes, this person is incorrect. The Constitution does not apply to illegals. Illegal aliens don't have the same constitutional rights that legal citizens have. That person, texter, was the Attorney General of our state, Lori Swanson.
She probably knows the law. I would think she didn't get to where she is by not knowing the law.
So we're going to defer to her expertise on that. But thanks for that text. It is 5:20. When we get back, speaking of those kids, let's talk about the kids. We'll speak with Dr. Lisa Herman. She's a child and adolescent psychologist to talk about what exactly happens to that bond to those kids when they are taken away from their parents for 30, 40 days. What happens and can it be repaired? Right after the break here on CCO. Want to get right to our next guest, Jordana and Paul here. Thank you for spending some time with us today. And we know this is challenging subject matter. We also know that we don't have the answers on this one, but we are open and we're listening and we're taking your calls and we'd like to work with you toward a solution.
Right. And we've heard a lot of alleged experts talking about what happens when kids, especially young children, are forcibly separated from their parents. And question comes up, is this hype? You know, are people making too big a deal out of this?
Are we over-dramatizing this?
Or are these kids suffering from PTSD? Dr. Lisa Herman is a child and adolescent psychologist with Alina Health Clinics. And Dr. Herman, thank you for joining Jordana and me today on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's good to be here.
Absolutely. So what is your take, and what do you tell people when they ask about separation with kids? Is this something that you eventually get over, or does this leave lasting impressions with young people?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it certainly is something that a lot of people are talking about. We see it in the news and social media. People are definitely feeling afraid for a lot of kids that are going through the separation, and a lot of medical and mental health groups are really starting to speak out about it. The American Psychological Association, as well as the president of the American Academy of Pediatrics. What we do know about traumatic situations when kids are not only fleeing a country, which is very dangerous, but also then being separated from a parent or a loved one, it actually does and can cause long-term and short-term as well, long-term permanent damage emotionally and physically. It's very stressful.
Even just a short, like these kids are only supposed to be held. I know it's been a few months already, but they're only supposed to be held, 30, 40 days. It was supposed to be 20. That's how it was under our last president. But even just a short separation like that can cause long-term damage?
Yes, it actually can. It is something that in our bodies, we talk about this fight or flight system, right? And it is a system that we have that keeps us safe. And when things are not safe, things feel very scary. Being separated from the person you trust the most, it will kick in a surge of cortisol and hormones that floods the body. And this can stay there in a constant state of not feeling safe. Having that person, like a parent or a really close family member that these children are with, can be very, very traumatic and separating from them. They're not in their own space. They don't have a lot of physical things that they are familiar with. They don't get a lot of physical touch. Mm-hmm. They are very much in a state of chronic stress. It can lead to trauma and post-traumatic stress. It can lead to anxiety, depression, behavioral issues. They can start to regress. And try to find other ways to self-soothe. It can be very traumatic. Even for a couple of days, kids can really go through, especially young kids, can really go through a lot in a short amount of time. And it can cause lasting social, emotional, developmental impact on who they become for years and years down the way, actually.
Dr. Herman is a child psychologist with Alina Health Clinics. One of our listeners writes in, many of our military personnel, male and female, are deployed. They get separated from their children for a year, months. Is that not as harmful to the children as this is? And what should be done about that? And then they add, not that I agree with what is happening, but is that apples and oranges? Because, I mean, explain the difference between somebody leaving for a year on deployment and not being with their kids versus what's happening to these young people at the border right now.
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. And I think what the difference might be is the kids, when they're in a home and a parent or guardian or an aunt or uncle, somebody they're close to leaves, that's still very hard and it's still very scary. But the difference is the kids are usually still in their family of origin where they're safe. They have the rest of their family. They have school. They have friends. Their entire world is still very similar.
Their network is intact still, right?
Their network is intact. They have a lot of protective factors that are going on in their world to be able to help them cope and be resilient with something like that. The kids that are going through a separation at the border, they are really experiencing something quite different because they are not in a safe space for them. They don't know what's going to happen next. They don't have school or friends or even parents that they can trust. And so it feels very, very unsafe and very scary. And that kind of fight or flight system is going off all the time. And that can really create a lot of mood issues and behavioral issues and just feeling like this is not a very safe environment. And it can be very scary. And I think a lot of the what we're hearing, too, is a lot of the workers are even starting to feel very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. How do they manage this? Are they supposed to hug them? They can't hug them. It can be very difficult when somebody's in distress, especially a child, that natural instinct to want to just take them up and soothe them and help them. That touch is very important. And so a lot of these kids don't have a parent there to cuddle them and say, this is going to be okay. It would be very different if they did.
So, Dr. Herman, your advice to the Trump administration, stop this right now?
I'm actually not going to go there. I am definitely not going to go into a political avenue because I think there's so much complexity that goes into politics and the laws that Congress passes. But I think as we look at this for children who are going through a traumatic situation, there's so many factors that are going into how this is going to manifest in the short-term and long-term consequences that this type of excessive stress and trauma can really produce.
Okay, but you're not saying that this policy should remain in place, are you?
I mean, personally, I'm looking at this.
As a doctor, I'm saying as a doctor.
Oh, as a doctor, if there's anything we can do to keep kids with parents in a time of stress, that would be 100% what I advocate for. Obviously, the politics of this is beyond my scope and area to go into, but looking at development as a whole and how children and going through any kind of stressful situation, they need things to help them be resilient, family, friends, community, feeling safe, being able to have those outlets to be able to process what is happening so that they don't start to kind of harbor these traumatic events. And then it just sits there and it just kind of builds. So having a lot of outlets is for traumatic situations is going to be very, very helpful. So one of those things is keeping them with family. That would be something that we, you know, as a human race, I guess, should advocate for.
Dr. Herman, thank you so much, Lisa, for joining us.
You're so welcome.
Keep up the great work at Alina.
Thank you so much.
We don't have the answer key. We are in search of people who might have the answer key. Is there an answer key? I get the sense we're making this up as
No, we're trying. We're trying to find it. It's 5:32. Take a quick break. When we get back, let's talk traffic. My goodness, this I-35, all of these
projects. I'm actually happy to be talking about traffic.
Yes. How are you managing? Are you in one of the neighborhoods affected? Have you decided to take the summer off? 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. Welcome, welcome, welcome back. It's 40 minutes after 5. Jordana and Paul here. Thanks for spending some time with us today. We're going to talk traffic in just a minute. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry if you're sitting in traffic right now.
There's a lot of that going on.
It stinks. Yeah.
Books
Paul's
on
had to
tape.
You had to reroute coming to work, right?
Yeah, my detour had a detour. Mm-hmm. You just have to stay flexible. It's like a scavenger hunt every day, finding your way to work.
Geocaching your way to work.
Well, I'll get there eventually.
Before we get to that traffic, we did have a call in on that last segment, so we wanted to get Mike in Stillwater. Mike, you had some thoughts, sir?
Hey, Mike.
I do. I'm a child psychologist with 30 years experience, and I was listening to the guest, and I just cannot let your previous guest comments go without being challenged.
Okay.
The fact that she is so equivocated on the president's policy, to me, is just there's just no courage whatsoever. You know, you talked about a lot of theoretical things, which I know and she knows, but then to not come down definitively against that policy is just unconscionable.
I think maybe, Mike, she was confused. Maybe she thought I was asking for a political opinion, which I was not. I was asking for a professional one.
But you know what it reminds me of? When the whole Abu Ghraib thing was going on in Iraq, the psychologists that assisted with that, they assisted and they were co-opted in it. And it was only after the fact that the Psychological Association of the United States had this, after the fact, mea culpa. But it's happening again now. You know, there's people aren't speaking out enough. And what's going to happen a year or two from now, there's going to be this after the fact mea culpa. You know, people have to have some courage, for heaven's sakes.
Is the medicine, is there a body of evidence? Is the science fairly compelling, Mike, that separating kids anywhere, doesn't have to be at the border, but that this does cause lasting damage psychologically?
Absolutely. There's no doubt or question about that. You know, the only thing, the primary thing that protects children when they're under stress is to be engaged in a supportive, protective relationship. Without that, there's nothing.
Hey, Mike, let's try this one again. So, Mike, as a child psychologist, would you tell the Trump administration to stop it?
Absolutely. Now.
All right. Fair enough. I'm really glad you called in, Mike. I appreciate you listening, too.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike. Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, I tell you.
I think a lot of GOP Congress people are telling, asking, pleading
Stop it. Stop it for anybody.
That not only is it potentially, well, it is immoral, but it's also bad optics, right?
They want to
talk about the economy and the tax cut and the good things that are happening. And as a nation, we're fixated on this. And I don't know. It's not sustainable. This will get resolved, and hopefully sooner rather than later. And know the ends do not justify the means.
So let's talk about something fun.
What's that? Traffic?
Traffic. Okay, so what's your situation? Where do you have to go? You come via Duluth.
I'm coming
now?
In. No, I'm coming in via Eden Prairie. I spend the mornings at my weather tech company's. Yeah. In EP, so I usually shot up 35W, but now there's no shooting up 35W, so I'm going up 100 to 394, and then just going through the city.
Okay,
so it's not too bad. I feel really bad though for people in South Minneapolis or the southern suburbs, you know, who really have to scramble. And
go through residential neighborhoods.
Right.
See, that's it's
there's
not,
the safety element
it's
here.
It's not just the commuters who are being affected by this. There are some neighborhoods where people have, you know, traffic flooding through. You know, their displaced cars have clogged one-way thoroughfares on Portland and Park Avenues. That's in the city. Someone lives on Oakland Avenue and say people are trying to find a shortcut. And kids live on that street. She says there are more closures. South Minneapolis neighborhoods like the Phillips neighborhood and the Whittier neighborhood and Elliott Park. They're feeling the pressure. Also, you know, people who want to sit out on their porch and enjoy a lemonade are looking at gridlock. You know, folks are blocking the box in residential neighborhoods. And we didn't know how you were dealing with this and how it was affecting you. Our phone number is 651-989-9226. 651-989-WCCO. That should be on speed dial, by the way. You just plug it in that little phone of yours, and then you can say, hey, Siri, call WCCO. And then they call us, and you get to chime in so you don't have to take your hands off the wheel.
I don't know. I see both sides of this. We have to repair our highways, right? We have to. I mean, infrastructure is crumbling. But part of me just wonders, couldn't you do it like one lane at a time? Or is it faster just to pull off the Band-Aid all at once, rip it off, spend a few months or a couple of years? How long is this going to take? How long is 35W?
I believe. Right, three years. I think it's 3 years. I think that they're probably, I'd like to think that they're probably doing it as fast as they can.
Right.
It's just we have such a short construction season.
That's true. That is a factor.
You can only work a few months out of the
year. Wait. They can't do this in January?
No. They can't.
Even with OT?
They can't. I'm sorry. No, they can't. You know that better than anybody. They have the opposite of buckling roadways. They have frozen roadways, and they
can't. Wait, we haven't figured out how to repair the roads in January.
Well, can you work on that? Could that be your next company?
Somebody will figure that out.
We'd appreciate that. But, they have installed reverse bike lanes on 28th Street. I mean, we have really MnDOT and maybe some neighborhood folks have gone above and beyond to make this more palatable. But folks are suffering. So if you are in a bad spot, we want to hear about it. You want to vent a little bit, 651-989-9226. Let's take an early break. All right. Get some calls lined up. And then we'll wrap up with this after the break.
Paul, you just said the tax cut is a good thing. Why drink the Republican Kool-Aid? I'm in a labor union, and I'm middle class, and it's not good. Okay.
Traffic and immigration. Going back to immigration here. But some of your traffic texts were they built the 35W bridge in 1 year, and it's taking 3 years to...
Well, I think this is more complex than building one bridge from what little I understand.
That's absolutely right. Correct. But I feel you on the traffic, folks. I feel you on the traffic. But we did get some interesting texts on the immigration situation.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, stop trying to rationalize racism. Stop trying to rationalize fascism. Stop rationalizing cruelty. We're being conditioned to accommodate cruelty, authoritarianism, and fascist rule. We should be frightened to death.
And we talked about, hey, we don't have the answer key.
No.
We're trying to find people who might have the answer key. And a listener writes, the answer key is to be humane.
Always. I do, always. This texter writes, hey, back to the guy complaining about the kids being dropped off at daycare. Nice try. But at the end of the work day, mom or dad will swing by and pick up the child at daycare. Sorry, I couldn't respond sooner, but that comment angered me. That's from a texter.
It's fear of the unknown. And we all have some degree of fear of the unknown. Yeah. Can you imagine what a three-year-old or a four-year-old?
We cannot imagine. I can't even imagine what those parents are going through as an adult. And to liken what is happening to these kids at the border and to daycare, it's not even on the same universe. Let's see. What else we got here, Paul?
Is this the right thing the Trump administration is doing? If this is the right thing for the administration to be doing, why has the U.S. bailed out of the U.N. Human Rights Council?
You know, that happened today, and that is interesting. I wish we could have two brains. We can watch and read while we're on the air with you. We're hoping to address that tomorrow when we become a little more educated about that. But, yeah, that definitely piqued my interest today, so we're going to learn a little bit about that one.
The U.S. is breaking international law, according to this texter, by not processing asylum seekers at the legal ports of entry. Families go to the desert to cross illegally to force an agent to deal with them. They don't want to be illegal.
I was reading today that some of these families can't find the proper points of entry. I mean, right? What do they know? They're coming from God knows where, and they don't know where the access points are.
What would inspire you to go on a hike hundreds of miles, you know, with your kids and the clothes on your back? I mean, things must really suck at home for you to make that trip.
Right.
And just the trip itself could kill you.
They're not coming for the Wi-Fi. They're coming because it's really horrible at home. And many are running for a spank. There are some that, you know, are choosing to do the wrong thing, choosing to break the law. There are some bad people that are crossing. Absolutely. But God, these families, it just breaks my heart.
Yeah, we can't accept the entire world's population.
No, we cannot.
But we can be civil. We can be humane. We can be just. We can treat people with respect.
We can do all of those things. We can be American. We can uphold American values.
Yeah, well said.
Talk to an economist tomorrow about what happens if we build the wall and what happens if there are no immigrants. Let's talk 1, 2, 5, 10, 20 years down the road. American economy without immigrants tomorrow.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.